This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Jason Hansen to the show. He is founder of Spy Escape and Evasion. He's an ex-CIA officer, and he's author of Spy Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And by the way, I had an opportunity to listen to the audio version of this book, and it was excellent. So I'm really glad to have him on the show. He's also got a new book coming out. We'll probably dive into that too. But Jason, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. And you're coming to us, I guess, from Southern Utah. Is that correct?
I am. Cedar City, Utah, which is where I live and which is where our headquarters is.
Good stuff. I see your billboards. You've got all kinds of billboards here around Las Vegas. I just moved to Las Vegas a few months ago. I thought, that's intriguing. Got these spy escape classes. And then I thought, well, I got to get that guy on my show. So here you are. Glad you're here. You know, what are some of the basics people should know and why should they be concerned about this stuff? Is this just James Bond fun stuff, or is it ridiculously paranoid stuff, or is it realistic that this is important?
Well, first, it is fun stuff. I mean, it's a great time. It's a blast. But it's not paranoid, because this is what I tell everybody. You know, we've trained everybody from CEOs to celebrities to, you know, the family next door. None of us, no matter who you are, no matter if you're a conservative, liberal, whatever you are, nobody wants their wife kidnapped. Nobody wants a home invasion. Nobody wants, you know, harm to their kids. So we all value our safety. And by learning the techniques and what I share, it gives you peace of mind. So I don't walk around, you know, like some paranoid guy. What I think to myself is, hey, I hope nothing bad ever happens. I pray it doesn't. But if it does, I'm grateful that I'm prepared. And that's kind of my outlook on life.
That's a practical outlook. You know, after hosting one of my podcasts, the Holistic Survival Show, for 200 and some odd episodes, doing that for years, I find that some of these people are really just kind of paranoid. They're not really living a normal life. It's almost kind of a sickness. So I think there's a good balance here of practicality in knowing some of this stuff without just making it your life so that you never live in the first place, you know. That's kind of ridiculous.
I 100% agree. I mean, we all know the saying, moderation in all things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I live a very comfortable life. You know, I got all my stuff. I've got my 72-hour kits. I got guns, ammo, all that fun stuff. But there are people who are living in that bunker, you know, underground, or living in that cabin in the woods. And if that's what they enjoy and it makes them happy, God bless them. But I don't think my wife is ever going to have let me convince her to go live in the middle of nowhere, you know, in some bunker in the woods.
I always like to say these people are such good survivalists that they may never die. The only problem is they may never actually live in the first place.
That's right. And never have a spouse or have kids or anything. Who knows?
Right, yeah, they're too busy preparing for the end of the world. Give us some of the, you know, some kind of practical fundamentals and let's go from there. I suppose this is especially important when traveling to foreign countries, but also in the good old US of A, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's again, there's a gazillion things I can tell you, but one I'll just cover is hotels, only because I know you travel a lot. I travel a lot. You know, I go to Vegas. As we mentioned, the show I do, I go to Vegas quite often. And most people have no idea how many crimes happen in hotels. A lot of them are just petty crimes, robbery. But of course, there are more horrific acts. And so a few things that you can apply here domestically or overseas is, one, every time you're checking into a hotel, the representative behind the counter almost always asks you one question. And that one question is, Mr. Johnson, how many keys would you like? Always say two keys, even when you're by yourself. And that's especially true for women who are more likely to be victims, because overseas especially, criminals will case hotel lobbies. They'll sit there, they're watching people come in and out, And if somebody checks in, a woman checks in, and she says, oh, I only need one key, then they assume she's by herself. They're going to follow her. They're going to know where the room is. And then they're going to try and do an evasion on the room. So that's just one hotel tip, is always ask for two keys. I'll give you another quick one. I always try, when I can, to stay between floors 3 and 6, because most criminals,
Yeah, exactly.
Most criminals are going to bust into those first two floors because they've got their buddy in a getaway car who's waiting there. So it's very quick access. And then, as you were about to mention, is you don't want to be at the 99th floor. If a fire or terrorist attack happens, fire truck ladders in the U.S. will only go up to the 6th floor. So you've got a long, long way down to get to safety. So that's kind of why 3 to 6 is the magic number.
Yeah, so the 6th floor in the U.S., but I think you pointed out in many foreign countries, the fire ladder will only go up to like the 2nd or 3rd floor, right? It's really...
Yeah, it depends on what countries you're in. It's obviously case by case, but what I tell people is here in the U.S., we take fire codes for granted. Remember, a lot of places in the world, especially third world countries, there's no such thing as fire codes. So that's when you want to stay lower. You know, I may want to take the risk and say, okay, I'm going to stay at 3 or even 2 if it's such a bad place, there's no fire codes, and, you know, I'm just very worried about it. I don't feel comfortable. So that's why you always have to know your surroundings. Mm-hmm. Is always a case by case of country, location, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Good point. So hotels are a big deal. What about something I know that you teach that I think is super important, just as a, you know, it may seem obvious, but it's amazing how many people ignore this. We see it all the time out in public. Situational awareness. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, we call it survival intelligence or situational awareness. Doesn't matter what you call it, but it simply means having your head up. So most crimes are crimes of opportunity. It's some guy on drugs who's looking for his next drug fix, and he's just walking around. He's scanning the local mall. He's scanning the local park, asking himself who appears to be the easiest victim to rob. And if you're sitting there texting, if you have no idea what's going on around your surroundings, you're going to be the person who's chosen. The guy who has his head up, who's looking around, who's scanning the surroundings, is not going to be chosen because he sees that threat ahead of time.
Right.
So I personally use a flip phone. I've never sent a text message in my life. I'm more old school, but I have zero desire to have my head buried walking around like a zombie. And since most people do, for those of us who don't, it makes our chances of being a victim a lot less, because that bad guy has so many people to choose from where he doesn't have to come after us. And that's exactly what we want.
Yeah, right. It's all about not being the easy target, because
correct,
just like with your house, you know, the burglar going down the street is looking for the easiest target. So if you've got your lights on at night, you've got decent door locks and security and, you know, just some basic stuff, they're just going to go to the next easier target. I mean, it's just, you know, the path of least resistance for them, right?
Yeah, and that's 100% what it is. Criminals are lazy. They're like all human beings. They want the easiest way out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have cameras on your houses, if you have alarm signs, if you have a dog bowl, signs of a dog, and your neighbor has zero security measures, they're going to say, whoa, I'm avoiding this house with an alarm and security cameras. I'm going to go to the neighbor who's not doing anything, because I have a lot easier way of getting in and not getting caught.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so, you know, what if you get kidnapped or something really scary like that happens? What should you do?
The short version is start leaving clues for the FBI and police to follow you. So obviously, you're going to do whatever you can to fight them off. But if you cannot and you end up in that van, you want to shove your finger down your throat to make yourself puke to leave DNA evidence. You want to pay attention to the number of guys you're with. You want to pay attention to what you can hear. As soon as you can, cut yourself. Not so you're going to bleed to death, but do a little cut, white blood. White blood underneath places, though. So don't, let's just say you were sitting at a coffee table and it was a Hollywood cliche where you're in a room and there's a table and your kidnappers are yelling at you. You wouldn't want to prick your finger and wipe it all over the top because they could see that. But you could put it underneath the coffee table or underneath something, that way it's less obvious. And you're trying to leave all these clues, because then when the FBI is trying to track you down, they have the evidence that, yes, this is John Doe. We're on the right trail. So leave clues, stay tough, and never give up. And, of course, escape as soon as you can. Don't try and believe them that you're going to be fine. The first moments you see an avenue to get out of there, take it.
Okay. So that's really interesting. I never would have thought of make myself throw up. What's also interesting about that, Jason, is that it might just gross them out. You know, they might just not want to, especially if it's a potential rape scenario for a woman, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I remember one of my girlfriends at the time years ago, she used to say, you know, if someone's following me, I'm just going to, you know, and I can't get away, I'm just going to like get down on the lawn and start eating grass and make them think I'm nuts, you know? You know, so.
Well, thing is too, is in a real life situation, you know, you may not have to fake pee in your pants or going to the bathroom in your pants or puking. That may come naturally.
Right.
And it's all good stuff to leave evidence and hopefully have them leave you alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's interesting. I never would have thought of that. Is it true, Jason, that you always want to fight at the place where you're being abducted rather than go with them and fight later? That seems to be the common wisdom, but I'm not sure if it's accurate. Do you tell
us? It is. It is. You want to do everything in your power, you know, right up into costing your life to make sure that at that place of abduction, you don't go. Mm-hmm. Because we know if you end up in that van or car or whatever, your likelihood of survival significantly drops. And we also know that kidnappers move you very, very quickly. There was just an incident somebody was telling me in Las Vegas where the girl, some woman got kidnapped from her apartment and she was, I can't even remember where, New Mexico or something, 12 hours later. I mean, she was way out of there. And obviously, because criminals usually move you, it's much harder to track you. And the further they move you, the harder it is to track, which means mm-hmm. we're not going to find you. You're going to end up dead. So do everything you can at the point to make sure you don't get in the van.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's the big fight right away. And I think that a lot of people will lose their wits about them and make that mistake of not making that the fight. They all think, well, I'll get away later, right? So, okay. So if you do get captured, you have some tips on escape, right?
Yeah, yeah. So if you get captured, you kind of actually change mindsets real quickly. So you're fighting like crazy to escape in the first place. But if you do end up in the van, if you're not able to escape, then you go into a more submissive mode. It's an act because you want them to think you're going to obey them and pay attention and you're submissive and you're not going to put up a fight. That way, they're not paying as much attention to you. They're not putting you in the highest security measures. And that's when if they duct tape you, I teach people how to escape duct tape. I teach them how to escape rope, how to escape zip ties, how to pick handcuffs using a bobby pin and a hair barrette. So if you end up in these various restraints, being duct tape and rope the most common, when you have that chance to escape, I show you how to get out of those restraints in literally seconds and then hopefully be able to flee to safety.
Yeah, and I know you do these live classes and you're speaking at our Venture Alliance Mastermind. I can't wait to do some of this stuff in person, but can you share some of it now or do people really have to see it to know how to do it or can you describe it?
You know, it really is. You have to be there just because it'll sound completely crazy. But, you know, we teach people how to escape home invasions. Oftentimes, criminals duct tape homeowners to a chair. So we show you if you're ever duct taped to a chair multiple times around, how to get out in less than 2 seconds. So there's all these things that we teach. And again, me saying it isn't going to make sense, but here's what I'm going to do, Jason. We actually didn't talk about this, so I hope it's okay. I have a Las Vegas show at the Stratosphere. And I'll tell you real quick how it came about. Our security company, we train CEOs, celebrities, real high net worth individuals. And we were training one of these individuals. And he said, hey, by the way, I own a bunch of Las Vegas stage shows and control them and put on shows. How would you like to do a Vegas stage show? And since I believe life should be exciting, I said, whoa, you know, I'd never obviously thought of that. And that's how we ended up doing this. And it's a real good time, but also showing valuable information. So where I'm going with this, Jason, is anybody listening today, I will give you 2 free tickets to the Las Vegas stage show because it is so important.
The only thing I want to say about that is a lot of our listeners are non-local. So, certainly people in the U.S. go to Vegas regularly, but that's great, Jason. How can they get those 2 free tickets? Very generous offer. And, you know, if they don't, any resources you can offer would be great too. So go ahead.
Yeah. Send an email to my office, jasonh@spyescape.com. So my name is Jason Hansen. So just jasonh@spyescape.com. Just say you listen to this and that I promise you 2 free tickets. I'll make sure you get them, make sure they're at the box office because I'm incredibly passionate about people keeping safe. And then our website, spyescape.com, also has a ton of free articles, a ton of free safety and survival information.
Good stuff. Okay, so that's where they can find out about some of this stuff. What else do you want people to know?
That life is amazing and wonderful. However, it is unpredictable. So I encourage you to prepare. It gives you peace of mind. You don't have to worry about if bad things happen, if an economic collapse happens, if you lose your job because you've prepared and you have food storage and you have money in the bank. And being prepared makes everything easier since life is already difficult enough as it is.
Yeah, no question about it. Okay. Any other, like key preparation techniques, whether it's escape? We've talked a lot about the survival stuff on at least on my Holistic Survival show, you know, obviously the bug out bag concept and general preparedness. That stuff is relatively simple after people know the basics. But anything else about being out in the world and traveling and the escape concept that we were talking about as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a few quick ones. One, people who travel internationally, you got to blend in. You've got to know the cultural dress, all that. As Americans, we're obnoxious. We stand out. I mean, you can spot an American overseas in 2 seconds, which is why we're often targeted. So respect the other country's culture, whether you like it or not, just so that you stay safer and you blend in. But if you're ever on the run, if someone ever chasing you, two quick tips. One, take left turns, because when you're in a city, us human beings, especially Americans, we always go to the right. So if you go to a fork in the road, when I'm teaching classes, almost everybody goes right because we're just brainwashed that way here in the US. But if you keep going right, you end up in a circle eventually. Mm-hmm. So remember to take some left-hand turns. And then the other one is if you're ever on the run and someone's chasing you, go high in a building. Most people, when they're chasing you, if you're going into a building and go high and they've lost you, they're not going to go search the upper floors. Mm-hmm. They may look on the first floor. And so there have been instances where bad guys are searching the lower floors, somebody's up top, and they never get caught. So make sure and take left turns and go high if you're on the run.
The left turn concept, that's pretty interesting. Is that apply only to cars or on foot or both?
Everything, especially on foot. You've all heard those situations where somebody gets stuck in the snow and they abandon their vehicle to go find help. And they end up, it looks like, walking in a large circle and are found maybe a mile dead from the car. Mm-hmm. Because it is so hard for us to walk straight. We have a 320-acre Spy Ranch here in Utah where we do our evasive driving and our training and all that stuff. And when we first bought it, I was trying to walk off some things. And I put some stakes in the ground. I walked and put some stakes. And it looked like a drunk person had done it because the stakes were not lining up at all. So we think we're walking straight, but we're not, which is why you got to remind yourself to take lefts if you're ever on the run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take lefts because the natural human tendency is to go to the right. Now, a right turn obviously is easier when you're in a car, and it's easier when you're on foot too if you're on streets. The left turn is always a more complex thing because you've got a cross traffic issue, whether it, you know, be foot or car. You're saying your pursuers will usually go to the right also. So if you go left, you're just likely to lose them.
Correct. And even in, let's say, just a mass evacuation, say a bomb went off somewhere, you were in a building or a bomb went off in a city. You don't want to follow the herd. You don't want to follow, you know, you don't want to be the sheep. So we know that everybody else is going to go to the right. You go to the left because you don't want to do what everybody else does. It's usually not the best avenue to escape and stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. Anything out of the ordinary that someone should have in their preparedness kit? The basics, of course, you know, 1 gallon of water per day per person. I just do that pretty easily in my house because I just subscribe to Sparkletts water. So I just have a bunch of extra 5 gallon water bottles. I mean, that'll work pretty well. And then mm-hmm. I have one of those things that if you know the disaster is coming, I have one of those plastic liners that I can put in a bathtub and, you know, yep. store 50 gallons of water right there. But you got to have advance notice because obviously I don't keep it full all the time. But what are some out of the ordinary things? I think, Jason, a lot of people forget about communication. So I highly recommend people get a, you know, one or two ham radios. They're really cheap. You don't need a license if you only use it in an emergency. There is an exception. You need to know how to use it, obviously, but I'm not a fan of getting a ham radio license because that gives the government a preemptive search warrant, and I don't like that at all. But, you know, it's okay to own the equipment, and if there's an emergency, you can use it, you know? So I think that's a good thing. You know, your cell phone's probably not going to work. But any out of the ordinary things?
So communication, critical, like you just mentioned. A lot of people don't pay attention because it's not as sexy. So I highly recommend radios. I'm gonna butcher their name because I always do, but it's the Baofeng. I believe it's Baofeng, or it's Baofeng. Mm-hmm. Google that. You'll find them. They're very inexpensive on Amazon, and I have several of these radios, which we use for emergency purposes. So get those. And then another item, which is more sexy, is a tactical axe slash tomahawk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the tactical axes or tomahawk, whatever you want to call it, very useful. They're smaller. You can obviously chop wood, dig your way out. I had a car accident a few years ago. We got stuck in the snow, crazy snowbank thing. And because we slid into the snow, it was so packed, we could not dig our way out. So I had to go to the back of my car, take out my tactical tomahawk, and I'm hacking through basically this ice to free our car. We got out of there. Everybody was fine. And all my relatives who used to make fun of me having this tomahawk in the back of my car.
You were right.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, now who's laughing, folks? Yeah. You know, we were in Wyoming. It was freezing, middle of the winter. So get one of those. There's plenty of great ones on Amazon. They fit perfectly in a backpack. So that's another thing I'm a fan of.
Absolutely. Good point. Okay, anything else?
Oh, there's just so much I could go on. I mean, water filters, but you got to have multiple kinds.
Yeah.
So you got to have a filter. And then I also like the powder Chlorflock, C-H-L-O-R-F-L-L-C. You know, have backup. So I don't just have one filter.
Good point.
And you're going to have me back because there's the world's biggest survival food scam. Like most people who buy survival food sitting in your basement, there's almost instant death. And I don't have time to talk about it now, but it's a passion of mine because I've done so much research and most of the survival food will get you killed. And even though I hate the government regulating things, I'm amazed that the government has not regulated this food so people can make all kinds of claims that are false.
Mm-hmm.
So just be careful when you're buying survival food. Most of the pouch stuff you buy will not last long and make you very, very sick, but there's no regulations, which is why they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in other words, that food is not going to last 20 years probably, right? I've always wondered about those claims.
The only stuff that's going to last the 25 to 30 years is the stuff that comes in the number 10 cans. So those number 10 cans are great. I have a year's supply of food of those personally, but those pouches, they're not. I mean, the crappy ones, and I'm always testing stuff, are going to last a year before they go bad.
Mm-hmm.
Best of the best ones, which is what I use, will last you about 15 years. Mm-hmm. But anybody claiming 25 years, it's completely fraud.
Yeah. Okay. They're never going to be around to be held accountable for that anyway. So that's the problem.
Exactly.
One of the things on the water filter, just before you go, Jason, I wanted to share with people. One of my guests told me, when you travel, and I just put this in the interior lining of my suitcase, so I always have it with me. I just never forget it. It's a $22 Life Straw, because the biggest issue, if there's a disaster when you travel, if it's a terrorist attack raid on your hotel and you got to hide in a room somewhere or whatever, it's going to be lack of water. So, you know, if you got to drink water out of the toilet or whatever, that straw, okay, you know, could be the thing that does the job. Or if it's out of a pond or, you know, who knows. But I think that little, it's super portable and you can just bring it with you. I mean, do you agree with that? Is that a good tool?
Yeah. You should have something.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, when the disasters happen, water is usually the first thing that goes down, and terrorists are known to attack water supplies. So having some type of filter that doesn't take up much space is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Jason, give out your website and tell people where they can find out more.
Sure. They just go to spyescape.com. We got plenty of information, free goodies, reports, articles that will keep them safer.
So that's spyescape.com, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Jason Hansen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, heartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.